risen. But because he's risen, so are we risen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So the family meeting, just real quick while you're finding that, what we want to do is, I really believe that God wants us to become more inviting toward people. We want to be able to invite people, but we also want to make people feel comfortable when they're here. Right? And so, wouldn't it be a shame, and I know that it's happened, that somebody comes into the church, they sit through the service, they go back to the parking lot, and they haven't really been greeted by anybody. Right? And we don't want that. We want everybody to feel welcome. We want everybody to feel at home. And so during these family meetings, what we're going to do is brainstorm. We're going to see what we do right, what we see do wrong, you know, evaluate ourselves, and then collectively come up with ideas on how to make it better. Amen? Amen? So I need everybody who can come, leadership, the board, everybody to come, and we'll have a good time. We'll pray together, we'll eat together, but we'll also strategize. Come on, because I really believe that God wants us to be more inviting and more welcoming, and I personally believe that God is going to open the windows of heaven and that people are going to start coming in because this world has nothing to offer, but God is here to touch us. Amen? Amen. So glory to God. We're going to get ready. We're going to prepare. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anyway, so Matthew 28, verse 1, it says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it." It's just, come on. Sometimes you got to put yourself in this picture, right? These ladies are coming, and what they're coming for is to anoint his body because he was killed right before the Sabbath, and they put him in the tomb, but they didn't really get to go through all the rituals of, you know, all the perfuming and whatever the customs were. So they said, "We're going to go out and do this on the first chance that we get." And so they're doing it, and they're going out there, and they got all the perfumes and everything. But they rolled this stone onto the grave because the rulers, the Jewish rulers and the Roman rulers, didn't want somebody to steal the body and then say that he was alive. So this massive stone was rolled over the grave, over the tomb, and then there were guards up there to guard it also. But here comes these ladies, and they're looking at the stone that they saw rolled against the door of that cave or that tomb, and all of a sudden it was rolled away. But then there was an angel sitting on top of it. Get that picture. That is amazing. So, all right. So, verse 3, it says, "His countenance was like the lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And the guard shook for the fear of him and became like dead men." But the angel answered to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. Indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples' words. Now watch this. So what do you need to do? You need to go tell them he's alive. You need to go tell them he's alive. You need to go tell them that he's risen. You got to go tell them. Why is that so important? Because it validated everything that he did. It validated who he said he was. It validated the work that he did in us. And it was really amazing because in the first century, as I've read some of the commentaries and everything, it was a common greeting for Christians because they had to be a little bit careful, because if you said, "I'm a Christian," that could mean your life, right? But they'd go and this is the way they'd greet each other. He's risen. And the one coming back said, he's risen indeed. He's risen indeed. And yet, for us, sometimes we get, it's so commonplace, we take for granted, or we don't really put the emphasis on the risen Savior.
Right.
Now look at, that's what sets us apart from all other religions. You can go to the graves and see where, you know, where Hare Krishna and all the other ones were laid, right? Where Muhammad has a grave. Everyone has a tomb, but they're still there, but Jesus is not there. He's risen. He's risen. He's alive. Glory to God. Glory, I don't know about you, but that excites me. Because His resurrection means something to me personally. I take it personal. I said, I take it personal. And you should too. You won't unless He's your Lord and Savior. But once He becomes your Lord and Savior, then it means something different for you. He's risen. Woo! He's alive again. The stone been rolled away. He's alive again. He's no longer where He laid. Come on. Let all the people rejoice because He's alive. Glory to God. I'm threatening to sing the whole sermon. In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. My wife says living with me is like living in a musical. It's just the way it is. It's who I am. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1. Verse 1. Now let this sink into you. I don't know about you, but sometimes I read the Word and I you know, I'm just going through the motions almost, and some of the words are just common but sometimes you got to stop back and just say, oh, now Holy Spirit, this is too sacred for me to just get through my chapter. Or get through my reading, or it's too sacred for that. I want to have a relationship with you. So Holy Spirit, would you speak to me the life that's contained in this word? Would you make it real to me? Would you make it valid to my heart? Verse 1 says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Did you know you were all called? If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're called and you're separated to the gospel. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. What does that mean? Proclaim the good news. What's the good news? He's alive. He's risen. Verse 2. Which He promised before through those prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son Jesus, our Lord, who was born in the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. I mean, you could walk around and say, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am, but someday you got to say, prove it. Prove it. I can remember, you know, I used to play basketball as a kid, and there'd be people that would come up and brag and just say how good they were and, you know, just talk a good game. But when you played them and wiped the court with them, they didn't prove what they were saying. Right? I mean, they couldn't cash the paycheck, if you know what I'm saying. Right? But watch this. When you validate who you are. See, it's not wrong to brag about who you are if you can back it up. Jesus said, I am the one. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Right? That's what He said, right? He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the one that has come from the Father, and I'm going to go back to my Father. I'm the one. He even told his disciples over and over again in several places. He said, listen, they're going to come, they're going to crucify me, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried for 3 days, but I'm coming back. Right? Now, it's one thing to say that, but can you back it up? He did. I said, he did. He did. He did. He did. We can have confidence in our Savior because He is the one who He said He was. That's good news, by the way. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Ooh, glory to God. I'll probably get ahead of myself, but that's okay. Watch this. We are identified with Christ. And it's one thing to identify with Good Friday. You know, He took all my sins on the cross. Isn't that awesome? He paid the price for my sins. And that's one part of the equation, but as we're going to see more clearly as we go through the Scripture, I'm not just identified with the cross. I'm identified with His resurrection. Come on, come on. I love it. This came to me while we were worshiping today. I'm identified with the death of Jesus in that He took my sins upon Him. But in His burial, He carried away my sins. He carried them away, right? He carried them away. So they're far from me. So now I'm qualified to walk in light of the resurrection. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds my future. And life is worth the living just because He lives. Come on, He's alive! He's alive! He's alive! And the power of the resurrection is now living on the inside of me. Look at Him. Verse 5, through Him we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom you also are called of Jesus Christ. One day, even though I'd been in church my whole life, I knew all the stories about Jesus. One day, the Holy Spirit, in an incredible manner, Bruce, I want your attention. Hey, Bruce, can I have your attention now, Bruce? And it came that way from a man who was obedient to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God to speak to me. That's why we're all so important. That's why we're supposed to proclaim the Word and the Gospel, right? Because we can be the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit can use us to reach somebody else and say, hey, Fred, can I have your attention, please? Right? And then the good news will come to their hearts. But it's all because of the resurrection. It's all because of who we are in His name. Go to chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 24. It says, but also for us it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, and who was delivered up because of our offenses, and He was raised because of our justification. His resurrection and the identification with it, and why we celebrate Easter, is that we have life. And I'm not talking about, you know, whoop-de-doo bubbles and flowers and all of that. I'm talking about we will live eternally with Him forever and ever because of the life that's on the inside of me. He died for my sins, but He was raised for my justification. And you all know this probably, but justification means just as if I'd never. I might have done some not so good things, and I did, so did you. Don't look at me so holy, right? But when Jesus died on the cross and we become identified with that, and then we know that He took those things that we did. And that would be wonderful. That would be great. But there's another aspect to it that says, not only were you identified with His death, you're now identified with His resurrection. So what that means is the same life that raised Jesus from the dead, that same is living inside of this mortal body. Glory to God. Shame might come, fear might come, but because He's risen and He's risen in me, I can speak to those and say, not so much here. You're not welcome here because I'm alive. You know, probably 95% of all fear, if you take it down to its core, is the fear of death.
Yes. Right?
I'm afraid of heights. Why? Because I could fall and die. Right? I'm afraid of snakes because one might bite me and I die. Right? On and on and on. Fear, its core is death. But once you take away with absolute knowledge that death can't do anything to you, then fear loses its grip. Woo! Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm alive in Him. I'm identified with His death, but I'm also identified with His resurrection. And because of His resurrection, I am now justified before the Lord. Come on. Oh, man, I tell you, that's exciting. I said, that's exciting. Go to chapter 5. We're just going to go through some verses here. Mike didn't think I'd get through all of these verses today. I'll see if I can prove him wrong. I usually put more in than I can do. But that's okay. Verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God, everybody say God, demonstrated His own love toward us. Take this personal. I said, take this personal. God demonstrating His love toward you this morning. His love toward you this morning. But watch this. Somebody can demonstrate their love toward you, but it's up to you to receive it or not. Is that right? I mean, come on. That's grace. Think about grace, the word grace. What does grace mean? Grace means somebody is going to give you something you didn't earn, you don't deserve. There's nothing you can do to work for it, but here, I want to give this to you. Right? And outside of God, it's like somebody says, listen, I just feel like giving you a brand new car. Okay. Well, no, listen, I just want to give you a brand new car. Oh, no, I couldn't take that. Or, this would be more of us, what's the catch? Right? Come on, when's the other foot going to drop? What's the catch? You know, am I buying a timeshare or something? What's the catch? Right? No, what's the catch? But God, in His grace, poured out His love toward us when we didn't deserve it. We can't earn it. What's the catch? There is none. Because true grace doesn't have a catch. Watch this. It's yours if you want it. Let me say that again. It's yours if you want it. Grace cannot be forced on anyone. Let me say that again. Great. I mean, you can be presented with the gospel. You can be presented with God's love. And He's demonstrated. We're going to see how He demonstrated it. But it's up to you whether to take it or not.
That's right.
Did you know He's, in His grace, has given you peace?
Yeah.
He's given you peace. But when fear comes along, or anxiety comes along, you've got to receive that peace. or it stays with Him. Come on. By faith, I just receive it in Jesus' name. I just receive His goodness and His mercy. I just want to be like this. Anything you got, I want. I don't like to be greedy about anything, but anything that God has for me, I want. If He wants to give me more, I'll take it. Just a story to emphasize this. My folks were still alive, and I was riding in the car with my dad and my sister, and you know, Dad was talking about when he died and what he was going to give us and whatever. I said, "Dad, man, you've given me so much." And he was talking about the lake property. I don't need that. I don't want that. You've given me already enough. And my sister said, "I'll take it." And my flesh went over my dead body, you know, but the point is like God is giving us grace and He's given it to us, but we have to take it. He's given us a demonstration of His love, but are we going to be involved with it? Look at it again. But God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know when Christ died for you? 2,000 years ago. I think there was a song, if not, I should write it. But when He was on the cross and He was suffering the pain and the agony, not of the physical torment, but the torment of being separated from His Father, you were on His mind. Your face was before Him. Your face. My face. I think He saw us. And He said, "I'm dying for them." But not just for them, for the whole world. The only difference between me and somebody who's outside of Christ is that I received the grace that they didn't. That's it. Come on. Much more, verse 9, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Sin separates us from God. And if sin isn't dealt with eternally, we'll be eternally separated from Him. That's what hell is. Hell, and it's been described many different ways, but hell is the absolute total darkness. I've been in dark places, but there's been a few times in my life where I've been in absolute darkness, where I couldn't see this, right? It's black. It's a horrible place to be. Well, imagine this and much more for eternity. Completely void of any light whatsoever. That's what hell is. But more than that, what it really signifies is, if God is light, it signifies the fact that without God, the natural thing that will happen if you're without God is you'll be in darkness. Praise God, I'm not in darkness. Why? Because I've been justified by His blood. I've been justified by His blood. I shall no longer, come on, be in His wrath. God's not mad at me. God's not up there saying, "I'm watching that fella. He's got two strikes." Right? That Bruce down there, he's got two strikes. When the third one comes, he's over, I'm done. I'm going to bop him upside the head. Right? No. Because the blood has been applied, the wrath has been denied. I won't be in His wrath because I've been justified by His resurrection. He's risen. Woo! Glory to God! It's the very thing that justifies the fact that I'm now right with Him. He settled the books. Has anybody ever gone through an audit? and you've got to justify the books. What that means is that every penny has to be accounted for. I've done them for a year and a half at a time, and struggled to find like 7 cents. But watch this. 7 cents makes it so that the books aren't justified. Well, it's such a little deal. It's not a big... Still not justified. Without the books being completely justified, no man can see God. He paid for all the sins. There's nothing that separates me from the love of God because I've accepted His grace. And I'm identified not only with His death, not only with His burial, but I'm identified with His resurrection. Glory to God. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. I love this. For when, if we were enemies, verse 10 again, for it, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Oh, glory to God. He's alive. Glory to God. He's alive. I got a chance. Come on. My redemption is in His blood. Glory to God. He's alive. Go to chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Bruce's translation. That'd be stupid. Right? That'd be stupid. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Wherefore, we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, even so we should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been united together in His likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that your old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. No, watch this. I just want to make this a clear picture. I got saved and God delivered me of many things. Many, many, many things. And I'm not going to go into specifics, and this one doesn't really apply to me that much, but for the example, it'll work. If God saved me and through His resurrection, I was delivered from the addiction of gambling. And, you know, bless God, I've been saved. I've been freed from that. It no longer has a power over me. Why in the world would I go to a casino? Well, you know, just a little blackjack won't harm me. What we've done is we've just decided we're going to walk in death for a little while. And I'm identified with His resurrection, so I'm not touching that. It didn't do me any good the first time. Right? It caused me all kinds of pain the first time. I refuse to go back there because I'm identifying with the resurrection. So I'm going to walk in the newness of life, not in the old way. Can anybody identify with that? Come on, man. It's like... But here's the good news, even if we do that, even if we find ourselves back in the pit, anybody been back in the pit? You've been delivered and you do some things and all of a sudden you're back there again. Oh, God, how did I get here? And sometimes it seems harder to get out the second time, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time. But God's grace and His mercy are always toward you. God is never the one up there with His foot on your head going, "You pathetic thing. I saved you over and over. You just don't get it. Stay down there for a while." That's never God. Jesus said it this way. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have eternal life." He said, "I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might have life." So when we get back into things that lead to death and destruction in our life, well, we need to turn around and say, "Oh no, that's under the blood." And walk back toward the resurrection. In You, Lord, I live and I move and I have my being. It's in You, God. It's in You. Hallelujah. Verse 23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." Because He's risen, I have eternal life. And it's not life that I'm waiting till I die to get. It's life that I have on the inside of me right now. Go to chapter 8. I hope you're getting something this morning. I'm preaching me happy. You can either come along or stay where you are. Verse 11, chapter 8, verse 11. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." I believe this has a twofold application. The life that I'm living right now, God, by His Spirit, brings life to my mortal body. That's why He said, "By your stripes we're healed." You know, He's blessed us. He'll strengthen us. He'll encourage us. But also, unless Jesus comes back, all of us have a date with a plot of ground somewhere, right? Where we're all going to die and our bodies are going to go back to dust. But that's just our earth suit. The body that I'm in is just my earth suit, right? It's just the tent. I'll just say this, that it was so vivid to me. My mom died, this was several years ago, but she died and I was there and I was actually with the mortician, and I've had this experience being a pastor. I've had it many times where I zipped up the body bag. But as soon as the spirit leaves the body, if you're in tune with the spirit, you know they're no longer there. They're no longer there. That's the frame. They look just like them, but that's not them. Right? But there's coming a day when the Bible says that mortality is going to put on immortality. In other words, He's coming back. When He comes, He's going to give you a new body that's going to be like His. What does that mean? I'm going to be looking good. You're going to be looking good. Come on, looking good. Because the outside is going to come into the reality of the original creation that God had for man. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at verse 34. Chapter 8, verse 34. "He's alive again." And I'm in Him. I'm alive too. "Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. Come on, come on. He's alive. I'm in Him. This is a description of who I am. I can either live in the reality of it, or I can deny its impact on my life. I choose to live in the reality of it. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 8 real quick. "There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Are you in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Condemnation doesn't belong to you.
Amen.
I said, who's qualified to condemn the one that God has justified?
Amen.
And I'm justified because I am identified with His resurrection. So Easter is a whole big deal to me. Because He's alive, and because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know my future is in His hands. What can separate me from what God has planned for me? Nothing. Zip. Just me. Just me. Go to Romans chapter 10. We quote this when we're talking about people getting saved, but I want you to see this really clear in light of what I'm saying. Look at verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's not enough just to confess that He died for your sins. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Because that wouldn't justify you before God. You must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. Lord, I confess right now that You raised Jesus from the dead, and that's the proof that's needed that I'm alive. That Your life is available to me, that I'm living in You. Verse 10. I was waiting, but that's okay. Verse 10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So listen, it's one thing to believe it. It's another to say it. And confession is really interesting, because confession here is saying the same thing that He said. It's not, I'm confessing my sins. It's, I'm saying what He said. So when I think about the resurrection, I'm confessing that I'm justified. I'm confessing that I'm redeemed. I'm confessing that I'm alive. I'm confessing that when He comes, I'm going. He's alive. He's alive. You're right, Mike. I'm not getting to all of them. I'll close with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Hallelujah. If, everybody say if. And only you can answer the question to the if. If then you were raised with Christ. How many in here were raised with Christ? Do you believe that? You truly believe that? Come on. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of earth. What does that mean? Think about Him. When you're facing your day, you're facing life, you're facing your trials, you're facing your struggles, just think about this. I'm alive in Him. He's risen, so am I. If we'll begin to take on this thought, everything changes. I forget who I was talking to. You're probably here, but we were talking about martyrs. I think it was Thursday, and we were praying for the martyrs. And, you know, if you get this picture of somebody being martyred for Jesus, you could have that picture of all the Christians that were lined up and they were beheaded. And you could actually see the video if you wanted to. And you say, oh, God, that's terrible. Not for them. I said, not for them. Not for them. The Bible describes in Revelation what's going to happen for somebody that's martyred. Woo! Glory to God. They get extra crowns in heaven. The minute, the second, the nanosecond that the head came off, their spirit went to be with Jesus, right? And they're forever reigning with Him, but they also got a badge. Right? If you were in the military, the patches meant something. right? If you're in the military, you wore, I'm thinking of Bob, but if you wore a Ranger patch, that meant something. That means if you were seen with the Ranger patch, don't mess with that one. They got some extra, don't mess with that one. There was honor that went with the patch. Don't feel sorry for a martyr. Right? Don't feel sorry for a martyr. Why? Because they're in heaven. And they've got a different crown. They've got a badge of honor for that. We need to live our lives out of that. Come on. It doesn't matter what the enemy does to me. Glory to God, because I'm alive in Him. Death, where is thy sting? It has no place in me. Whew, glory to God. If you're risen in Christ. Anybody in here risen with Christ? Come on, seek those things that are above. I mean, we got things to do. I mean, you know, I still have to take out the garbage, right? I mean, there's still things on earth that I've got to do. I got to change you. I got to do things on this earth. But while I'm doing those things, right, I need to be setting my mind on Him. Come on, at work there may be stress, but if I keep my mind on the One who's risen and keep my mind in the fact that I'm risen with Him. Paul said it this way, man, if you listened, none of us have been through what he's gone through. He said, these light afflictions, whipped, thrown off a cliff, thrown in the middle of the ocean, shipwrecked for a day and a night at sea. I mean, all of the things that... He said, these light afflictions are nothing to be compared with the eternal weight of glory, which, I'm adding this part, which I received when I identified with His death, burial, and resurrection. He's alive! Glory to God! He's alive! Glory to God! He's alive! Glory to God! Hallelujah! And my life is hidden in Him. Glory to God. Let's pray. If I could have the worship team come up, that'd be awesome. Father, we just thank You. We praise You. We honor You for Your goodness. We honor You for Your mercy. We declare to the heavens, we declare to the earth, and we declare to hell that Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord of our lives. We worship You, Father. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your family. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now, everybody, just bow your head for just a moment. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never been identified with Him, God's grace has been presented to you this morning. And God wants you to know it's available to you. Whether you're watching online or you're here in the room, all you have to do is take it personal. You have to see your need that without something being done, then there's no way that I could live good enough to be good enough. But right now, I just believe. And what's been said. I need a Savior. I need somebody to take my place. And the proof that Jesus was the One who came to alleviate the stain of my sin was proven in the fact that He was raised from the dead. If you're here this morning, if you're watching, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, right now is your time. Or maybe you've been living life outside of the newness of life, outside of your relationship with God, and you say this morning, I see it. I need to change. I need to come back and live out of the resurrected life. I need that this morning. If that's you on any of those two things, and you're here, you're online, just raise your hand before the Lord right now. Just raise your hand before the Lord. Come on. I just need more of Him. I want more of Him. I've let this earth and this life on earth drag me down, but I want to live out of the resurrection this morning. Yeah, I see those hands. I see those hands. Glory to God. Let's just pray this all together. Do us all good. Just say this, Father, In Jesus' name, I surrender to you. I'm identifying right now with the death of Jesus. He took my sins. I'm so grateful. But I'm also identifying with His burial and that He took away my sins. As far as the east is from the west, You said You'd remember my past no more. And Father, I'm also identifying with the resurrection. Because I believe my life is now with You. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. I believe right now I'm in Your family. Thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, we believe in prayer. We believe God answers prayer. We could have testimonies of even in the last 2 weeks where God has done miraculous things in people's hearts, minds, and bodies. If you're here after service and you want prayer, somebody will be up here willing to pray for you. Let's go and worship with this song. But go listening. I hope your steps are a little bit lighter. I hope the air is just a little fresher right now because the life that He's given for you and the life that lives in you. But let's worship together.